Alright, hello, welcome to episode 48 of Fangin' and Bangin' with Gangrel, and I found Ana Blanca Diaz. I don't know where she was for like two episodes. AABD over there. That's right, ABD, Ana Blanca Diaz. Man, I'm dragging butt here. I don't think anybody at home cares because they're all dragging butt too. So yeah, it doesn't do me any good to complain because they're probably driving somewhere as they're listening to this going, I'm going to work, dude. I'm tired too. So quit your whining and suck it up. Man up, cowboy up, whatever you got to do. Cowgirl up, get posse it on. Posse up. As Edge and Christian would say, posse up. And go. Coming off a good week in wrestling, we had you missed the – I don't know what I did on the other podcast, but you missed Jacob. Jacob was in here.
I did.
Jacob Fatu. Wow. And did he even name his cousins Lance and all that when he did the family tree? He left some other people out. I think he might have left even a few more people out. Samu, Lance. No, he's named Samu and Lance. Yeah, he named
it. It's a lot of people to keep track of.
Did you watch the podcast with Jacob?
Not yet.
You didn't?
No, I got to catch up on my episodes.
You catch up on your episodes. Ugh. Well, you just missed two. You're here for the other ones. He's 2-1.
I'm catching up on the two.
Okay. So, man, I ain't got no energy this weekend, and I'm looking for some help from you, so you got to step it up over there.
I'm trying my best.
All right, so what did I do this weekend? Where was I this weekend? So we had Port St. Lucie show for CCW. I wrestled Jacob Fatu there in a grudge match. He tried to beat the hell out of me. I'm surprised I survived that one. And then I was in, so that went well. And then I was in CCW for breaking Chains. Is that what it's called?
I believe so, Breaking Chains.
There at the Pompano facility. Did a six-man tag with Vinicius and Ariel Levy. Ariel. Do I say it wrong all the time? Is it Ariel? Ariel?
I think either way is fine.
Ariel?
Yeah.
So Levy was a six man against, I don't remember who, ERA, Nova, and somebody. So that was good. And then Sunday ran up to Deltona. Not Daytona, but Deltona, which is a suburb of Daytona. And wrestled the show there. All shows were all packed houses. Everywhere was pretty much sold out, chalked up full. Everything was full. All pretty good shows. Everything was a successful weekend. The only thing is I'm a little tired, lost my voice. I'm looking forward to getting back down to see Dr. Silva over there at the Wellness Center.
How's that going so far?
It's going good. Like, they worked on my right knee, but, you know, they want me to get off all the stuff I take, different, like, ibuprofens and stuff. But they worked on my right knee, the knee that has no ACL, no PCL in it, and it's bone on bone. That feels like my good knee, because the rest of me killing me now. Like,
yeah,
my
switching foot, up on my left, you.
Yeah, switching up. So I'll be in there tomorrow, Wednesday, and I'm going there. And I'm assuming they're going to work on my left leg, keep me balanced. Work on one, rotate, work on the other, then work on a shoulder, work on a shoulder, work on a foot, work on a foot. I don't know. They claim they're going to get me back to fighting shape. I said, I still wrestle every weekend. They go, yeah, but we're going to get you back to where you were when you were in your prime, like 29, 30.
That's so amazing, though. What kind of doctor is he, like, exactly?
Or, well, I don't know. Like, why would you ask me a question like that? He's all kinds of doctor. He's like, a wellness doctor.
Wellness doctor. Got it.
They do PRP and I don't know, check your prostate. And I don't know. They stick one finger in and you say, I want a second opinion, and two go in there.
Next time I will not ask.
You don't ask me what kind of doctor your mom is either, because I don't know.
She is a work for workers comp.
Right, but what kind of doctors?
I think she's just a general doctor.
Physician. See, you don't know either. Now she's gonna get hot because she's sensitive about it. She has an answer like that whenever, ask her what kind of doctor, she just looks at me sideways. Like, and she was like, PhD, physicians, healthcare,
physicians,
something.
Anyway,
whatever. She oversees all that federal government stuff and all that and injuries, but she's whatever, an all-around doctor. I don't know what kind of
doctor. She's a great doctor.
People ask me what kind of doctors people are. I have no idea. They're doctors. I'm not a doctor. That's all I know. What kind of wrestler are you? I'm a wrestler. I don't know. I guess I could say, well, I specialize in high flying and technical grappling or or something. No, I'm a pro wrestler. I don't know. Do everything. Do everything. Okay. I don't fly. And yeah, definitely
not
fly.
No, not anymore. You don't.
There are tapes out there where I've done some flying, but not consistent flying. I'm more like a...
every now and then.
I'm more like a tragic page in the news history or something like that. Crash and burn. All right, so I got to step up my energy. I'm dragging here and moving slow and in a slow groove. But it was a great weekend of shows, yes. Friday, Port St. Lucie. Saturday, right here, Pompano Beach, Florida, home team, hometown, CCW. And then on up for EGCW. I think you're going to be working for them. So, yeah. Listen, I got a bone to pick with you about that, too. So,
uh-oh.
Hey, no way. When I go out there like this, I'm on my third show on the weekend, and I'm dragging your mama with me because we're on the road, so I'm not flying, so it's mm-hmm. easier to take it with me. And I'm not dragging, but I asked her to come with me.
Okay.
I'm dragging, but she seemed happy to be there with all her meal prep box, like eating her five meals. Now that she's a bodybuilder or something like that.
She's trying.
She's trying.
She's,
I don't know,
doing,
but
she's
like,
doing great at it so far.
All I know is I don't have no food, and she constantly has food. I look around and like. She's got food. I go, where are you going? I'm going out to the car to eat. Boom, I come back. The car smells like food. I'm like, oh, whatever. But she's always eating. She goes from eating once a day to like seven times a day. Craziness. But good luck to that. And I'm proud of her for doing that. And that's good. But so, I got her up there. Yes, I'm going
to
pick this bone. it's not like the bones I had to pick when I grew up when it was like fried brim. And you're like, ah, like, ugh, picking those bones. But, that's just a childhood memory. When it's a pig and bones, it reminded me of that. I don't know. Nobody else probably knows what I'm talking about, but you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, no. Where I grew up, like the neighbors and stuff, they would just cut the head off a brim and kind of fry it. Like a brim is like a panfish, like kind of like a freshwater panfish.
Oh, yeah.
And it has so many bones in it, and trying to eat the fish off the bones. That's another reason I don't eat fish no more. Like just too much fish as a kid. Like, ugh. But, okay. So I don't know why we're talking about that. But, boom, boom, boom. All right, so I'm in Deltona, not Daytona. You know, it's so weird. It was a big show in Daytona going on the whole time. I'm going to get back to my bone to pick with you. But when I get back to it, on Facebook, most of my bookings come in on Facebook, right? So a lot of them come in on Facebook. So now, Andrew Anderson, you know Andrew, right? Integrated Pain Management. They helped me when they did some stuff. They helped me in my back. And Andrew, the wrestler, Andrew Anderson, mm-hmm. he's managed by Kevin Sullivan now. They call him, he's like the new Purple Haze. Andrew, the Enforcer Anderson. my throat. I'm sorry. He kept calling me and saying, hey, we're going to get you on this show in Daytona. They need you on the show. The Nasty Boys, they got to go to Liverpool or something. So I'm like, I'm on the show. And he goes, oh, I don't think you are. And then the promoter of that show calls me and says, hey, I'm trying to get you in the Battle Royal. I go, I'm on that show. And meanwhile, I'm writing the guy that's booked me for the show. I'm going, man, you're telling me I'm in a match, but you got guys call me about a Battle Royal. I'm not doing a Battle Royal. He goes, you're not in a Battle Royal. Who's trying to call you for a Battle Royal? Well, I was mixing Daytona up with Deltona. And they're right next to each other. So the whole time I'm giving that the Daytona company crap. And then I'm giving the Deltona people crap. Go, why are you guys trying to like, who's running this thing? So they all must have thought I was on drugs or insane, you know, because like I didn't worry about it because it's kind of basically it's 4 hours away or 3.5 hours. I considered it a local shop. And I didn't really put much thought into it till like I had a Friday show and a Saturday show. So Saturday night when I'm coming home from wrapping up that show to leave out in the morning, and I put thought, okay, I'm going. And then I look at the addresses and the posters and I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. They must think I'm on crack or something or whatever, rot your brain. You know what I mean? Because I was like giving them all crap. So I guess they ran a show 20 minutes away in Daytona, and I was in Deltona 20 minutes the other direction. And I was worried because they had a lot of names in, like Buff Bagwell. They had a lot of names in for signing on the Daytona one. But I don't know how they drew or what they did, but the Deltona one did good. It was a jammed house, packed. I was worried, but it was full. I was the only, like, I guess, per se, if you want to call me a name on there. But and a lot of the Central talent, Central Florida talent and stuff like that were there. So, but it was good. It was a fun show. But this is where I get to you, is when I'm leaving the show, I have this flower power girl, or Liz, or whatever, Lisa, or whatever.
Flower power, Eliza.
Eliza come to
Eliza
me.
Eliza Hayes.
And they start asking me, where's the belt, like the knockout belt, this company that you're a champion for in Central Florida. So I got people coming to me going, oh, where's the belt? You're supposed to have a belt. Lucky I didn't give her a big boot in the head coming at me. If she would have been a dude, I probably would have gave her a big boot in the head coming at me like that. And so I don't know what you're what's going on with this belt. This company folded it, yes or no?
Yeah, no, they're no longer running. But
she even like acted like I was lying when I said, listen, I don't know nothing about it. She goes, he told me, Nicholas told me to come get this belt this weekend.
So I actually spoke with the booker from Knockout Wrestling because they aren't, no, they're not running anymore.
They are, but I'm not going to go into it. I think it's but go ahead.
Okay, but when I talked to him, he told me, oh, my bad, because I forgot to contact you, but I told Eliza. So you told one half. You told Eliza, the Flower Power, that you have to get the belt from Gangrel, but they never told me. So.
Oh, boy. Like
so he admitted it.
She came at me like a pit bull. She's lucky I was in a good mood on the way out because I was leaving out the door and I had a bunch of money in my pocket. So I was in a good mood. I was like, you know...
Not today.
This up another day. You take that up with Anna. I have nothing to do with that. So, like, girl, keep your drama out of my life.
I'm trying my best to.
it feels like when you have somebody's your student, it's like just everything follows you. I don't know what to think. I see poor Matoli, the Bulgarian basher, getting beat up by Paige VanZant on
TikTok.
And I go, hey, he's an undefeated guy. But I guess he's just training, and he was letting her pretty much spawn on him and stuff like that. So try to look at that. But her training's coming along good. What do you think of Paige?
Yesterday, doing the couple sequences that she did, the 1-2-3s.
Yeah.
She did pretty well. She looks comfortable in there. So
very confident, very talented. And again, I've said it before, and I'm pretty sure AEW will be happy with her if they utilize it the right way. But I hope they don't hotshot anything to a match and just let her get trained. But I'm training her on a sense that she is going to have a match soon. I don't know. But just keeping that attitude of keeping basics one day and then 1 hour and then doing more advanced stuff because really she comprehends it and she's really good at it. So that moves along. So. Going there, but training. Somebody asked me the other day how to get started training, or Raymond maybe. Maybe it was Raymond that wanted me to talk about it, or how I wanted to train people. But like, I don't want to train people. What would I say?
How'd you end up in that like field if you didn't want to do it?
Well, in a galaxy far, far away, long, long, long time ago. I don't know how the Star Wars thing goes. Can we run like? Star Wars. Oh, we got the Fang and the Bang. We don't have any holidays coming up there. We don't like. Oh, by the way, nice Bigfoot hat there.
Thank you.
Yeah, Raymond saying that. I don't know how Raymond was trying to make Alabama Bigfoot racist or something. I don't know what Raymond was saying because his last sighting of Bigfoot was like in Mobile, Alabama. I don't know if it was real or not, but Raymond, I don't know what goes on in Raymond's mind back there. He sits over there in the dark shadows and just comes up with conspiracy theories and stuff like
that. Yeah, he's
okay. Black and yellow, but then look, I got black and yellow on, so you trying to match today?
Yeah.
I think that hat was on my mind when I put that shirt in and I brought it over and gave it to you. Because
That would make sense.
I'm definitely not a Steelers fan, I can tell you that.
No.
Go okay. Bucks. Yeah. Buccaneers. You're a Steelers fan. Your dad's a Steelers fan.
A little bit, but I don't think they're doing so good anyway.
Yeah, Big Ben's gone. But how did I get into professional wrestling training? I'm pretty sure I've covered the story. I'm pretty sure I've told it on here before, but I guess just in case there's new listeners and it was overlooked and the whole 10 followers that were at the very beginning, I'll tell it again. Okay, so I wanted to be a football player. And a preacher. Okay? Mm-hmm. Right? Clear about that? Football player and a preacher. You can see that. No?
Yeah.
You do, because you know me.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. How many times did I have to tell Jacob in here the other day, don't use the Lord's name in vain?
Oh,
every time.
Yeah.
GD. I'm like, Jacob. His Uncle Reno's like that, too. To count to California. He'll say the same thing. All I'll be like, please. You could go say F your mom, everything, whatever. Don't say GD in here. But whatever. That's whatever. So, but. Football player and a preacher. This is when I was a kid. I gave sermons every 2 weeks, maybe every 3 weeks, in a church in Deerfield and Pompano. Can't remember which one it was because I went to two different churches. And my memory's kind of gone. But I used to get up there and give they would let me do like a little 10-minute sermon part, you know, cover something in the Bible, like a chapter, a verse, or something like that. So I very much wanted to wrestle or be a football and be a preacher. Never had dreams of pro wrestling or anything like that. Then my brother died. He drowned when my dad came to pick me up. It was a lightning storm one day, right in South Florida. Of course, there's always lightning. I had a flat tire on my bicycle. And my dad, I called from a payphone because he goes, "I know the lightning." I go, "Yeah, I got a flat tire. I wouldn't have called you." I was only like 5 minutes away, but I couldn't stand that lightning. It was popping that day. And my dad ran out, came and picked me up. I know this is a long story, but it's the only way I know how to tell stories. he comes out, picks me up, and we get home. My mom's in a panic, hollering and freaking out. Where's my little brother, Michael? Dad's like, "I just ran out here to go get him." But he always wanted my dad everywhere, so everybody assumed he was with my dad, like that five minutes. It wasn't even 10 minutes total, the round trip. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he drowned in the pool. We had like this above ground jaggy pool. The ladder was down. The storms came in. I don't know if the wind or something kicked the latch off the ladder, but the ladder was down. He climbed it and drowned in the pool. He was like, I can't remember how old he was. 3 years old, two, 3 years old. Three, maybe three, four. I don't know. He's old enough to climb and stuff like that. And so that happened. So my brother died. So that kind of started me like upset with God and stuff like that and different things. And then what the hell, blaming myself. Didn't know what to think about all that. Just watched my whole family start kind of falling apart. Then I broke my neck playing football. And they told me that, this is Pop Warner, like 12, 13 years old. They're like, "You're never going to play any sports again. You can't do any sports, blah, 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 blah." So now I'm like, I'm just mad, angry, confused, don't know what to do. Certainly, I was really pissed at God, you know, and just in a weird spot in life. So, like, this is a whole long story, but I might as well just go and tell. I've already told it once, but I'll go through it again. So I'm mad and angry with God, right? So later, I remember I had gotten a Ozzy Osbourne LP record. It was called Speak of the Devil. It's a devil-like LP or something. But Mr. Crawley was on there. And song Mr. Crawley, they were singing, "Mr. Crawley, what goes on in your head? Did you talk with the devil?" Supposedly he ate like live, he ate human flesh, this and that, and he was into Satan, whatever. So I was playing that over and over in my room, cussing God out and stuff like that. And I went to sleep. I woke up maybe 10 minutes later and there was a wall of fire. My bed was literally on fire around my feet. There was a wall of fire. It wasn't on the wall, it was a wall of fire in front of the wall. I wake up, I see all the trophies melt, everything melts. I freak out, like, ah. But the first thing I looked at was my trophies. I was like laying there, I wake up, yeah. I see the fire here, but what do? I look at the trophies. Cause that's what, you know, I was very vain, false, I don't know. I wanted to put football, I was mad at God. I looked right up there and it was like they waited for me and they just all melted. It's like looking at these action figures and then they just all melt, just like that. So very movie-like, it sounds crazy, but it's true. I go get everybody out of the house, blah, blah, blah. My mom cusses at me. The house is on fire. We get everybody out. 60, 70%, I don't know, the house is burnt. From my room on, it's burnt. And, I don't even know how I got into this, but I'm going to tell you about wrestling story. But I was just going to tell you how I got into wrestling. But, so, that's burnt. And the firemen come and they go, "Whose room is that?" Blah, blah, blah. My mom. And I think I've told all this on here. I don't even know why I'm telling this again. But they basically, I'm going to cut this short. They're going to drag it up there. He says, "Is that yours?" They point at a thing. There was a Bible in the room on a nightstand. Everything was burnt but that Bible on that nightstand. Wasn't even wet from the firemen putting the fire out and stuff like that. And I was just a little smart ass. And I said, "Thank goodness, because my Ozzy Osbourne Iron Maiden tickets are in there." The fireman was disguised to me. So, like, he's a miracle happened. He's seen a miracle. Yeah. Whatever. So, boom, that happened. So, I got away from wanting to wrestle or play football and be a preacher. So, now I was angry. I couldn't play football because of a broken neck. Preacher, I was mad at God. So, I got into some bad stuff because, you know, I wanted to play football, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't get signatures on forms and stuff like that. And I actually got caught trying to play JV football. And that got shut down really fast. So I was angry. So when that house burned out, I kind of moved in with an uncle. And then I never really moved back in. So at 13, 14, I moved out of home and never lived back at home again with my parents. So basically, it was living with my uncle, which is like being on your own. So eventually, I quit school. I got a girl pregnant. You know, I was running the streets, thinking my yin-yang and anything I could. just being a kid, a bad kid, like, you know, like troublesome kid, you know, and angry, chip on the shoulder, fighting every day, you know, not trouble, you know. But with the baby coming, I ended up leaving school and I had to get a job. And I was actually looking for a better construction job. I was actually looking through the papers and it said, be a pro wrestler. Make money on the weekends. And I was like, oh, cool. Go beat somebody up, make some money on the weekends. Have bad attitude and chip on my shoulder. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, all right. Better than digging this ditch, I thought. Like, so I'm going to roll on down there. And it was Boris Malenko and Rusty Brooks. Boris Malenko gave me the tour. And I remember walking around and it was up on top of a racquetball court. So you look down, you can see them all training. I seen a couple people. One of the guys from, like, became my tag partner, black eyes, these other guys. And I'm like, okay, I can hang with them. I can take him. I can hang, you know. Cocky in my head. I didn't say it out loud or anything, but I was like, yeah, head nod. Boom, I pulled that 300 cash out, gave it to him. That's all I got right here. That's all you need. So for the down payment, you had to make payments. So I get in and I'm getting to the wrestling training pit right here. So I get in and like 3 weeks go by. And then Rusty comes up to me and he goes, and granted, in this 3 weeks, I'm wondering, like I'm going, why am I giving this person my arm? And it might break my arm. Like, why would I just let him take my arm? And why am I letting him, like, why roll me to the, well, I go, there must be some defensive stuff they're going to teach me here to set it up. But I didn't question the process. I did, but I didn't say it out loud. But in my head, those 3 weeks was the most confusing 3 weeks. I'm like, why am I doing? How? Why? This doesn't make sense to me. Like, wouldn't do this in a fight. But I said, this must all be going to lead to something. And then Rusty came to me and he goes, hey, man, I got to ask you something. He goes, do you think this is, he didn't say the word back then. Do you think this is, you know? And I go, you know what? Like, he goes, you know? And I go,
did you know?
No, I didn't know. I was like, oh, what? No, man, I'm out of here. And he goes, oh, why? What do you? I said, no, man. If you're telling me, you're going to tell me who wins or loses everything. That means I am not going to be wrestling soon. Right away, I saw the picture because originally I went there. It was money driven. I wanted to fight and make money on the weekends. I admit it. I didn't know. I was 17 years old. I mean, I had grew up really fast in the streets, so I didn't watch wrestling since I was 13 on from that point, you know, like, so only memories I have as a kid, when I saw Ron Bass in Disney World, I didn't go flip and bother Ron Bass. My mom says, why didn't you ask for an autograph? I go, hell no, that's Ron Bass. He beat me up. So, you know, in my mind, wrestling was still legit and stuff. So, and I wasn't going to deal with that. So I was like, wait. And he's like, no, don't. I said, I can't do this. I quit. Can I get my 300 back? He goes, no, you're not getting your 300
no
back.
No refunds.
He goes, but I wish you wouldn't quit. Don't leave. And I go, hey, man, I just don't see where this is going to work for me. And I can't. I'm struggling enough to come up with this money to pay you. And Rusty said, listen, you're not even trying. And you're getting it on the first time around better than the other guys. Because you're not even trying. He goes, you just naturally you just pick these moves up and you just you just like a lot like pages, right?
Yeah, okay.
Right? Just like, I'm not saying I'm as good as her, I'm just saying a lot like it was just, you show me one time, I get it. But in my head I'd be like, why am I giving him my damn arm? Like, won't he break it? Like, you know. But it was just something that clicked and stuff like that. And I had a lot of anger, so the emotions came out. But so he said, listen, don't quit. You don't have to pay anymore. Just stay. Don't leave. But always promise. This is what I'm getting to, the thing. Always promise to get back to wrestling. Just, he says, I'm gonna put you down as a trainer here, and you stay on a train after. But just always continue to give the professional wrestling. So, and that is the main reason that I've always showed up at wrestling schools everywhere I go. And I don't like to do seminars and stuff like that because I don't really like to be paid for what I'm doing. I mean, I am now. It's like a job. I mean, CCW takes great care of me. But just trying to get back and teach, right? So I'm very grateful for, because pro wrestling saved my life, because I was destined for the streets. Like, if I did, even though I was looking for a job or construction, I was still into shady things and doing stuff that wasn't like on the up and up. And I was still bound to catch a bullet and get clipped, you know? where I grew up, you know, it wasn't the greatest of the worlds, but like I also chose to align myself with the worst subjects in that neighborhood and not the good ones on the outlying neighborhoods. I just tended to gravitate to the more rougher and side of life there. And so wrestling, it saved me. I mean, I've been wrestling ever since that day. I think probably a month later I had a match, started having matches, yes, a month into training. And I don't know if it was like 3 months I was doing TV matches for Global and WWE as a job guy, an enhancement guy, getting the crap kicked out of me. But that promise I made, and I kept it, you know, rest in peace, Rusty, and Boris Malenko, both of them are gone now. Then first Malenko, then Rusty. But so I've kept that promise. But now it's a passion now because I've grown to love professional. Like, I loved it. I just was a kid as I loved it. That was real. I was confused to what was going on there. Mm-hmm. So from there, I wrestled. I continued wrestling. I got booked in Calgary, and I went to Calgary and ended up being retrained in the dungeon. They said retrain. I'm using their words. I just learned more stuff. I was trained properly. Boris Willingham and Rusty gave me a tremendous foundation. And then I picked up the Calgary style and added to my foundation and then my flash. And then from there, Calgary, I went on to All Japan. Then I went down to Puerto Rico, and then I worked in Memphis, and then I went to the power plant and I trained. A lot of people don't know I trained a little bit of time in the power plant after Memphis, after being in Japan and working and everything. And I had a deal there that I walked out on because I have thin skin, and I covered that before in here because you need to have thick skin. That's why I'm hard on everybody with stuff and just keep it 100. I keep it real and tell them what's up. So if you dress everything up and sugarcoat it, it's not really gonna help them when shit goes down and somebody mm-hmm. comes at them. They're gonna melt and have a breakdown. So I just keep it real with everybody, so that anything they hear out in the real world, they've already heard, and they're gonna move forward through it. So I trained a power plant, and then I don't know where I was working, but I decided I was gonna go train with Afa, the Wild Samoans. So I went there, and he's like, yeah. And then I actually went, and I moved in with Afa. I went and stayed in his basement in Allentown. He had a basement. It was like another house down there. So I stayed there, and I was going to train to school, but I don't know if you already had this in mind or whatever, but I ended up running to school. I wasn't training, right? So I was down there, but I picked up everything I learned about running shows and all that from Alpha and all the Samoans. Very good business people. They know how to find that money. They know how to make things work and be successful at that. On top of being amazing, talented family of wrestlers, yeah. As we found out with Jacob on here. Well, I knew already, but there's a lot of people listening to the show who found out that what an amazing wrestler is. So ended up running off of school for a little while until an Allentown winter kicked my ass. Well, the snow was plowed up higher than the mall. I was like, I got to go. I cannot handle this. I was good up to that winter time. And then, but I would still go back up there and stuff. It was so cold. I remember he had a school downtown Allentown by the train station and the bus stations, and there's no heat in it, and the ring was really snug ring, snugger than any rings we had here. I mean, like it's hard, no give. And in the cold, I just felt like that Bruce Willis movie, Shatter, or whatever that guy was, Glass, or
you
whatever.
You just kind of freeze up.
Freeze up, break. I thought I shattered into a million pieces when I would take a bump. But it conditioned you. I think that conditioned me for all rings and everything. Mm-hmm. I think that made me a better warrior for life there after spending my time there. But I learned a lot under Alpha business-wise. Learned a lot on how to run a school. Everything just on that business sense of it. They're just on point. So I have Boris and Rusty Malenko schooling in me. I got Stampede in me. Then I got just working in Japan and Puerto Rico, different styles, and then going back to Memphis and working. I mean, and I go to office, and then I pick up all that business sense and all that. So to that, I moved back to Florida. Then I end up running the first school I ran was office. Then the second school I ran was the Malenko School in Tampa. So right before I got signed to WWE, it had a lot of people in there like Jet Jaguar, Jeremy Gomez, Tony Mamaluke. A lot of those cruiserweights came out of it because mm-hmm. Dean seemed to draw a lot of the cruiserweight guys. Because Dean was like on TV and stuff. And so I ran to school with another guy named Mike Marcello. So I was in there doing a lot of training there. Jeff Bradley was there for a while too, I think, the original Dudley. He was in there. So a lot of good people in there working with the young guys coming up. A lot of cruiserweights came out of there. The Shane Twins, I believe, might have came out of there. I was working with them a lot in there. I think they're being honored this Friday at the Legends Luncheons in Florida, Florida Legends. You probably don't know who they are, Todd and Mike Shane. They were, I can't remember all. They were the Apollo, the Body Adonis, not Body Adonis, but they were the Apollos or something. Nova managed them. I don't know. They had a bunch of, they were the Ding Dongs for, I don't know. They had all kinds of, they were twins. They were great workers, Todd and Mike. They're great guys. They could do pretty much anything. So a lot of people came out of that school when I was there. A lot of talent came out of there. So I ran Dean School first, and then I got hired with WWE. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, did my time there, broke my neck, whatever. Then I ended up moving out to California, and I was in Northern California, up in Concord area, and I'd be west of San Francisco, out west a little bit. And Reno, Jacob's uncle, the Count of California, the Black Pearl, says, "Hey, man, we need to open a school. Come down here and let's open a school together." So I moved to LA, opened a school at Reno, and then Kishi came in, partners on it. So it was me, Kishi, and Reno. Out there, we opened Knox Pro. We opened it on my birthday. And then, so that's the first school that was like my school, technically, but it was with them too. We ran together, all of us. I did most of the training. Kishi was living in Las Vegas. Reno did all the business stuff. He's an office guy. He's business. So more of that Samoan stuff, right? They're all business. And then from there, I moved back home. Then I opened GWA, Gang Girls Wrestling Asylum. I came back home to Florida, which was doing great, really good, to unfortunate fucking idiot, excuse my language, ran off with everything. It was gambling problem, whatever. I don't even know what the story was. I'm not here to bury anybody or even go on about just that.
Unfortunate closing.
It was unfortunate closing. Yeah. It was going well. A lot of great kids coming out of there. And then now I found a home at CCW, Coastal Championship Wrestling. So I'm there Monday through Thursday and training. What, there's like 60 people rolling through there sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, 30, 60. And then we got paid, you know, we got the MMA, there's a couple girls that have already signed contracts to WWE that's come through there now that's helping out. And Paige, she's in AEW, and then we got all the other students that were there. I mean, and I've trained a lot of great people. There's so many even list, you know, there's Vanessa Bourne, Holly Dead, Jacob Fatu, Rusev, otherwise known as Miro, and it goes on and on. There's a lot of them that signed developmental people. I forget how many people that I actually trained that actually signed somewhere and did something. Yeah. It might not have lasted long, this or that, but they were good enough to get in there on their basics, you know, on their foundation. It's just whether you can keep a job, you can get in there, but whether you can be mentally and mentally prepared and strong enough, and you got to be a really strong person to keep a job, because it's a test of your faith, it's a test of who you are as a human being, and a lot of things you can really go through the mill. So it's a tough process. So you can get in there on your skill and all that, you know, but now can you hang in there and stay? That's the other question. But now they've gone another route, and I think you weren't here when I talked about it on the podcast before, of hiring people that have never wrestled, just straight out of college at 18, 19 years old, without a wrestling, not even watching wrestling. So that's a really weird vibe. We'll see what's going on. But I do believe everything goes in cycles, and I believe we're going to get back to believability. A little bit more smoke and mirrors. Just the magic is what I mean by it. Some magic to it. Believability, magic of professional wrestling. And they'll get back to wrestling instead of all the matches of mass acrobatics. It's like watching Speed Racer with the car acrobatic team or something like that, you know, like, but it'll get back to professional wrestling and believability soon. I believe that, or I wouldn't run a school. I wouldn't train people the way I train them if I didn't think it was going to come back around and be full cycle. But yeah, that's my history of how I gotten to become a professional wrestler. It was all the way back. Sorry, I had to go through the long story of the house fire, my brother dying, you know, mad at God. I even cut that in half. I gave you the abbreviated version trying to get to the wrestling training version. And I think I actually abbreviated that because there's so many places and so much stuff that I've been blessed to have been able to travel and journey this earth and do what I love. September's 35 years for me. And pretty much the only job I've had in 35, I could say in 33 years is professional wrestling has been the only job I have. 35 years I've been in it, you know, from the start of the training on. And so I'm still fanging and banging, and I'm very blessed. And I can't do it too without people that are listening to this podcast and the fans that are showing up at shows and all that. So thank you to you guys for helping me live my dream. And thank you to you students that helped me. you come in there and I get to relive my passion and correct all my mistakes and all my wrongdoings as I replug you guys into the ministry. I reboot it. Okay, don't do this year. I plug it in. So Evolve helped me become a better trainer and a better human being too.
It's just great that you're so like well-rounded in all different styles, because like what you would encourage your students to go to other schools as well, right?
Take seminars and stuff. Yeah. And I don't believe there's no wrong way to do something if it's a safe way. Everybody has a different style, different mm-hmm. thing. So I don't crap on any of that stuff, like other people's trainings and stuff, as long as it makes sense and it's safe, you know. Okay. You know, you should learn all styles and everything. I traveled, how many schools did I list that I was going to? Like how many times I trained?
Five, yeah.
But I never stopped learning. I still learn. I still will pop in on a seminar. I don't know anything. I'm still learning. The minute I think I've learned everything, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to be done, because it's not going to be fun anymore if I think I know everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything. I'm just passing on the knowledge that I've learned. And I can guarantee you it's more than anybody knows that's just walked day one into a school. So,
Yes.
And I'm just going to pass on, I'm going to try to save everybody the heartaches and stuff that I had. Try to cut you past some of that heartache and some of those tears crying in your hotel room alone or a stairwell when you get pinned in your first tryout when you're supposed to go over and all kinds of stuff like that. All those ups and downs and heartbreaks. I'm trying to not shortcut anybody, but just save them some of those heartaches and give them a better chance at a career. But
that's also why you train the way you do. Like you said, you don't sugarcoat anything.
Trying to say, is that why I yell a lot?
Well, yes, in a nice way though. Like I would run to the bathroom and cry, and I would.
Your look is worse than I'd rather yell at me. If I look over at you and you giving somebody that look,
it's just a death stare.
Yeah.
Why does everybody say they go into the bathroom and cry? Joyce, I didn't cry in the bathroom. I cried on the way home, blood.
No. So my go to was to hold it in as much as I could, because I didn't have the thickest of skin at the time, and I still don't, but I would run, to, not run, but I would go to the bathroom when he was done yelling, and I would cry and just sit in there until I was content enough to come out and show my face all like red and like... You can tell
so
I was crying.
So, if people don't know Anna's backstory, she actually started at CCW. I think I was there the first day that she came in with her mom. They stopped by. I was there for Jai Vidal. I was there for his first day. We stopped in and throughout his training. So, I was there, but she used to say to her mom, and mom would tell me, she'd pull in and go, "Oh, no, his truck's there. I don't want to go
in." Oh, my God. Yeah. I hated so much, and that you're gonna say that's a strong word, but I think in this case,
it is a strong word.
I strongly disliked seeing your truck. I was hoping it was another student that was there had the same truck. I was hoping it was his and not yours, but I came out better because of it.
Wow, you know.
At the time, but now I appreciate it.
Yeah, but it's also made you a bitter-ass wrestler, too, because you know how to wrestle, and you know your footwork, and you understand things, but at the same time, the world evolves, and wrestling evolves, mm-hmm. so you got to get in where you fit in and make everything work, but yeah, that's to that, so I think that's enough of my gaga, and so we'll go to Pandora's box now. So Anna, what's in the box, if Raymond put anything in that box? But because actually, I think we're out of time now. We're going to motor on and keep pushing. We'll get a couple questions out before we wrap this up. only because I think I'm going to lose my voice for some reason. I think all that yelling, telling Jacob to quit hitting me all weekend. Get off me.
It's passion. He's passionate what he does.
That's why he kept hitting me?
Yes. Oh. Okay. If you could have booked yourself into your ideal WrestleMania match during the Attitude Era, who would you have chosen to face? This is from @Brian.
I don't know. Let's get back to that. But you reminded me of something that I seen today. I was watching. So I'm going to give you a WrestleMania prediction for next year.
Okay. Hit me.
Edge versus Undertaker. That's what's going to be. Edge versus Undertaker. That's what's going on. Edge is slumming out with the chair. He's building him. Totally building him. Hall of Fame came. Undertaker tagged Edge in. Boom. Build yourself up. And And he said, never say never on his way out. Edge Taker, WrestleMania next year. You can say you heard it here first.
What made you think of that?
Because he's doing everything Taker did. He's just, he's like Taker, but nice. Like, Taker in a nice suit. This, it's a Brood meets Taker. The only thing new is what's been forgotten. He's just recycling Taker stuff, vamping up the Broods, though. Yeah, it's gotta be cool. Raymond's mind is blown over there. He's like,
he's looking. He's giving
I'm
you
gonna
a
see
look.
Taker one
he's
more time.
He's giving you a look. He's like,
yeah, I get building it out. The chairs, amazed. You know, coming in. That was Taker. Taker used to sit on a chair, watch the matches, show his approval when the ministry would finish, stand up. The ministry would bow to him. He'd get a good job, come in. Yeah. Okay. Wouldn't be surprised if he starts punishing Damian Priest or whoever else gets in his faction for losing and stuff like that and different things. You'll see. And then I think, boom. That's it, whatever. So what was the question again? So okay, my dream.
You can pick your opponent for WrestleMania. Who would it be?
I'd want in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Or WrestleMania. Edge, of course, where I started out. I like come full circle with that. Would have been a great match.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Or the Edge now. These guys get me back in shape. No, I'm just saying.
Like, that would be.
Yeah.
Awesome. Or the Wellness Center. Wow.
Oof.
All right, Diaz. Can you get it open?
I'm struggling with my nails. I'm sorry. Kurt Angle said on his podcast that when Hardy was in TNA Impact, the Jeff Hardy, you had to tell Jeff what? Ring style, whatever.
Are you trying to read Raymond's handwriting?
Yeah. Oh, did you ever have to tell Jeff Hardy to turn it down during his match?
Me?
No,
I didn't have to. No, I never had to tell Jeff Hardy to turn it down. Turn it down.
You had to slow down or tone it down in a match.
No, like, we were all. And I wasn't in TNA. What is it?
Have you ever told Jeff Hardy?
Kurt Angle said what though? You're confusing me with this question.
Said on his podcast that when Jeff Hardy was in TNA Impact,
okay,
he had to tell Jeff Hardy to tone it down.
Okay, maybe that's Kurt Angle, but I never had to tell Jeff to tone it down. We're all like wired for sound, ready to go. When we were working, it was me and Edge or Christian against the Hardys, Matt and Jeff. No, never. The office would come and tell us to tone it down because we were like just on fire doing everything. And I don't know if they're referencing to wrestling or something else, but wrestling wise, no, never. Mm-hmm. No, anything. We step it up and go another level in the Attitude Era. Okay. Yeah. I was a little confused. It took you a lot to get that question out there.
Raymond, you have to work on your handwriting. Thank you.
Is your handwriting, Raymond?
Handwriting classes or something. What's the story behind Luna's micro braids during the late 90s? This is from Sapheroids.
What?
Sapheroids. I don't know.
Sapheroids. whatever Anna's reading or Raymond's writing. I'm sure it's not that. It's probably something pretty cool. Much like the micro braids or something like the micro braids in the 90s. I'm trying to think. I mean, her hair, well, all the way back to the Las Vegas debut, which came out with Shawn Michaels in WrestleMania, the Vegas WrestleMania. They were extensions because her hair is very thin, fine. She has fine hair and she had a mohawk. So she would add the extensions to fluff it up in the back to be like lioness, but she wanted to keep the mohawk a lot like Tina Turner and Thunderdome, right? Tina Turner influenced, you know, beyond the Thunderdome. Mm-hmm. One, two men enter, one man leaves, two men. No. Any of y'all didn't see that? Oh, come on. Don't ask your mom because she's still mad at Mel Gibson about something. So I don't know. So, but Thunderdome.
Like, she holds grudges on people, I don't know.
Right? So he got drunk and said some stupid shit, like really bad stuff, but. I don't know, whatever. I still watch Lethal Weapon. I don't care. And I watch Thunderdome too. Because I like Danny Glover. But that was there. So then she was just changing things up. And then I think she just thought it was cool. Like, I think it might have been, CM Punk. You know his music, Cult of Personality, the band. Was it called Living Color? The band. The singer had the braids like that. He had the kind of his hair shaved on the side. He had the braids. He's swinging. Damien Priest, same thing. Damien Priest, okay. Right? So there was that. She was just going for that kind of look with the micro braids and stuff. She thought like that. Cult the personality. If you ever see the video, he's spinning his hair, and she just thought it was a really good look. So she just went with that. Yeah.
So just a different look.
Yeah. So and it was easier. Made your hair long, but the braids were easier than the other hair because they would last longer because you could braid the hairs in, and you would get more time out of it. But when you did the other hair, which I ended up putting her hair in because I was so cheap and I didn't want to spend $500, $600, and $1,000 on hairdressers, I would go get one of my home. I'd go get one of my homegirls to plait it sideways, and then I would sew the hair extensions in myself. Yeah.
You did her fucking hair? What?
Yeah, I did her hair. You got a problem with that?
No, that's cool.
Yeah. I did it. You see, you don't know things about me. That's right. I could put some extensions like a mofo. My tracks don't slip, dog. My tracks don't slip.
No, I do believe you.
Okay, last question. This is from London Callahan.
All right, London Callahan. We got one out clear. Run a roll.
Dustin Rhodes, a.k.a. Gold Dust, is someone I think is underrated. Do you have any stories about him? And did you even, if you ever got to meet his father, Dusty Rhodes?
I wrestled them both. I haven't wrestled Cody. It'd be pretty cool if I wrestled Cody in that trifecta, but that probably won't happen.
That would be a good match.
That'd be cool. Well, I don't know if it'd be a good match because I'm pretty grizzled and he's pretty intense. Like, I think Cody Rhodes is very intense. His Seth Rollins and match, that's really good.
That was, yeah.
Cody always works really, really hard. And always pulling some crazy shit off, like in AEW off the cage and stuff like that. He's always doing some insane crap that this I have no intent on doing. But we could tell, I believe we could tell a good story and have a good match, much like he had with his brother Dustin. And I wrestled Dustin and I wrestled the Dream. And I was honored to wrestle the Dream. I could tell you, I've been around Dusty, his dad, more than I've been around Dustin. And I worked in WWE with Dustin at the same time. And Luna managed Gold Dust, but I spent more time around Dusty than I did because I broke in coming up into Florida territory and championship wrestling for Florida Championship Wrestling, whatever it was called. So Dusty was the booker there. He's also the booker in WCW for a while and stuff. So I was around him a lot. So I spent a lot of time in the locker room. Dustin's underrated. Yeah, Dustin's incredible when he wants to be. Now that he's clean and sober, he's amazing. I mean, when back in his darker days, it could go either way, but that was like all of us or any of us with demons and stuff like that. Super talented, yes, underrated, and I believe he can still go. And I think he's still doing it. He's still making the younger guys look good in AEW from the stuff I see when I see a matchup. I don't necessarily see the match, but I see who they got him with, and I go, oh, that's Dustin probably made him look really good. So I'm sure I'm confident of that. And yes, he's underrated. He's amazing. And I wrestled him. I loved it. I wrestled his dad and loved it even more. So that was really cool. And so before we wrap it up here, hopefully I answered your question, London Colin, or London something.
Callahan.
London Callahan. We have a Fangin' and Bangin' Day, London Callahan. Before we wrap up Fangin' and Bangin' and this episode of 47, we're on a 48. So you got a little project. Raymond helped you before here to produce the Epilepsy Walk Miami?
Or he did,
Walk the
yes.
Talk Epilepsy from Miami?
Walk the Talk. We actually documented the Florida, the Miami Walk from beginning to end, getting there, the walk itself, and then like this little ceremony afterwards with like some little prizes and rewards that they gave out to everybody. So
very cool.
If you want to check that out, We Will Overcome on YouTube. It's going to drop.
We Will Overcome? WWO or it's We Will Overcome on YouTube?
It's WWO on YouTube.
FL?
FL.
WWOFL on YouTube.
YouTube, Facebook.
So the link should be up in the next couple of days of that. Yeah. And everything. Very cool. Thank you, Raymond. Thank you for out there and supporting the cause. And you had to actually walk that walk to film all that stuff, too. So I know how you dress like it's wintertime in Siberia with all your sweats on over there. So
and
you had to be out there sweating.
He was in sweats, and it was hot out.
I saw him sweating. I saw when you accepted your award for being the largest money raisers in Dade and Broward County. A lot of that goes to your mom too. I give your mom a lot of credit in that. Absolutely. She works very hard supporting the cause. So Susan Francis Nelson Heath or whatever name she took. She tried to make me take her name. I went somewhere the other day. They called me, "Hello, Mr. Nelson." I'm like, "What?" She just smiled. But they called her Mrs. Gangrel the other day.
David Nelson?
Oh, yeah, it sounds like a white nerdy folk band or something.
Well, your birth name is super white though.
Heath? I don't know about that.
David William Heath?
Well, you got me on that.
That's
one,
pretty.
Yeah. Trying to say I sound like I should have a banjo.
No, the Heath
say,
it was David William.
Listen, whatever. It's congratulations. Thank you, Raymond. And everybody, want some?
Get some.
Bad enough.
Take some.
This is episode 48 of Fang of Bay with Gangrel and Anna Blanca.